Very few people in an election get a personalized shout-out from their leader on national television, never mind if that leader is the Prime Minister. Robert Rock did. This local councillor for Ward 3 in Scugog has become the Liberal candidate for the Durham riding by by-election on March 4th. Robert is a trained arbitrator, helping people to resolve disputes. A huge part of his resume is his community work in different capacities, which the Prime Minister emphasized in his shout-out. Welcome to Exit 425. My name is Steve Ray. I am pleased to welcome Robert Rock to Exit 425. And perhaps Robert's name is even harder to say than my name, quickly. Robert is going to share why you should vote for him on March 4th to be the Member of Parliament for Durham. Robert, thank you for meeting me at Exit 425.
Great speaking with you today, Steve. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Why you? Why now? You are seeking to replace Aaron O'Toole, who left politics. What are you bringing to the table?
Well, a couple of things. I think the Durham riding deserves somebody from the riding who cares about the riding and who's already serving the riding to continue to elevate the voice of Durham in Ottawa. And I thought that that was very important. And what I'm bringing to the table, as an existing municipal councillor, I do have some political chops built up and understand some of the goods and both negatives that come along with governing. And I really think, from my perspective, taking a look at moving forward, we need someone who is from here, cares about here, and wants to see this community succeed.
Why Liberal versus the People's Party of Canada or the Conservatives or the NDP or Greens or others? And is there a danger in electing an MP that does not represent the governing party?
I wouldn't use the term danger. I think that has a lot of negative connotations associated with it. I think the important part is someone who knows how to build a consensus. At the end of the day, all MPs are a single vote. You get things passed by being able to make strong connections, by building consensus, finding solutions that are going to work to be able to get the votes appropriately or necessary to get anything passed. No one can do anything on their own. You need to be part of the team. So when it comes to voting for the Liberal Party, I mean, the Liberal Party has been, working very hard on making life more affordable for Canadians. And that's something that appealed greatly to me and want to continue that work to focus on affordability issues, to focus on housing, to focus on helping to improve healthcare. As a long-term advocate for the nuclear industry, to continue to see Darlington grow and prosper.
What are your connections to Durham riding? Your leader, the Prime Minister, spoke to this in his now well-seen caucus speech.
Yes, well-seen caucus speech for sure. So I live in the north part of the riding. I'm a resident of Scugog and have been serving the Scugog community as a municipal councillor. So those are my connections to the riding.
Describe the unique Durham issues that you intend to work to resolve if you're elected.
Well, there's a number of issues, but I'll call one of them out in particular that I think is extremely important. As I mentioned, I have been for over a decade, I've been a voice for nuclear and promoting and advocating nuclear within Ontario as a great solution. For two things, I think nuclear is an amazing solution for communities because it provides great middle-class jobs that pay quite well on average, and that helps a community prosper. When you have people who have good, decent paying jobs, they're able then to have that trickle down effect into the community by helping out small businesses because they have the money to spend. So they're out at shops, they're out at bars, they're out at restaurants, and they're spending money within their community. And Darlington also is a great opportunity for people to live and work in the community that they're in. So it means that people aren't traveling downtown, and a bulk of the money that they make it being spent downtown because they're already down there. The money stays here in the riding. So seeing, you know, Darlington continue to grow through refurb, through the addition of the four SMRs. I was very fortunate to be an intervener with the Canadian Nuclear Securities Commission, advocating directly to the commission on behalf of approval for the four SMRs. Once that those projects begin to move forward, again, it'll be great jobs for the community. The good thing is, matched with that, the Liberal team's been working really hard to expand housing. Minister Fraser has been out there with a housing accelerator fund, making deals directly with municipalities to provide funding and help to build more homes. So if we are getting that expansion, we're bringing a lot of jobs here to the area. We're going to need to look for ways to quickly increase the number of homes and to continue to take responsible look at expansion of infrastructure to be able to maintain, you know, a good quality of life here as we grow to meet the need of Darlington expanding.
There are a lot of things that people care about, and I'm sure you're hearing about them at the door as you're canvassing. What are the bigger picture issues that you and your party feel need to be addressed in this campaign?
Continuing to work on affordability issues. I think that that's been a key issue that we've seen this party focus on when it comes to the child benefits, when it comes to $10 a day daycare, when it comes to some of the rebate programs, whether it's the grocery rebate program, the carbon tax rebate. All of these things together are putting money back in the pockets of, you know, middle class average Canadians, to help them through the very difficult time period that we've gone through, you know, coming out of COVID for 3 years and then moving into a high inflation environment. There's been a lot of stress put on middle-class families. And again, looking at the parties, I see the Liberal Party working very hard on these types of initiatives to put money back into people's pockets, as opposed to the other parties, which continue to talk about cutting programs, which will hurt middle-class families. That's definitely something I'm hearing at the door. I'm hearing housing, which I addressed in the work being done with the Housing Accelerator. And I'm hearing access to healthcare. I know Mark Holland and his team has been working very hard and has signed deals with many provinces and territories at this point to provide additional funding for healthcare that's going to improve access to doctors, and a lot of other specifically targeted funds to make healthcare better for communities. And I know he's working really hard to sign a deal with the province of Ontario. So hopefully they're successful and we can see some additional funding for healthcare come into this province.
You live in the north part of the riding, and that's a lot of farm country. Lately, we've seen some pressure about housing, and you're talking about housing, and that's a key issue and a big issue, and housing affordability. And part of the way to solve that would be to just massively increase the capacity, the number of homes that are built. And the easy solution is to just pave over farmland. For me, that triggers a lot of issues about food security, especially after the pandemic that we've been through. What are your thoughts about that? Sometimes I think our solutions to housing are a little bit like the old, well, we need to raise more tax money, so let's just tax cigarettes and alcohol. And so the easiest solution is just let's open up more farmland and pave that. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that that's been adjudicated quite strongly here in the province when it comes to removing land from the Greenbelt. So I won't go back into relitigating how most average Ontarians feel about that approach. I think it is a complex issue. Simple solutions of simply just throwing homes into farmland is not an ongoing sustainable solution. We have to be smarter about what we do. So how are we diversifying our home stock? You know, we have to look beyond the developments where it's single family homes with everybody having a half acre of property. we run out of land doing that, right? We need to do more than one thing when it comes to housing. So there always will be an appetite for that. But I also think that we have to be very clear that, excuse me, that we need to continue to look at how can we diversify, how can we increase density. And something really important to remember is every level of government needs to work together in harmony on these sort of things. So that's why I've enjoyed Minister Fraser's approach in working directly with those municipalities to create those deals that are comfortable for those municipalities, especially when I compare that to the conservative approach, which seems to be penalizing, would be penalizing municipalities for not hitting arbitrary targets or arbitrary numbers of homes. Because what that does, it's going to put, you know, I know as a municipal councillor, if we had arbitrary numbers on numbers of homes we had to build, or we were going to lose funding, it takes away some of the responsible decisions we need to make from a community consulting perspective. And going out to the community and say, you know, what do you feel about this development? What is the community will when it comes to some of these development types, where they're at, those types of things. If we just have a number to hit, how seriously are municipalities going to take that? So I think we would prefer, in my perspective, the approach from the Liberal government to create partnerships and work collaboratively, not the opposition approach of penalizing people for not doing the appropriate bidding.
Is there any kind of sense that we live in a northern climate and a northern geography, and that we do have a limited land supply? Like, we don't have unlimited or really a super high quantity of really good farmland.
Well, I think we're very lucky, actually, especially in where we are here in both the province and the country. Down in this area, there's highly arable land, and you know, there's very successful large farming operations, especially when it comes to apple farming down here, quite successful farms all through this riding. It's taking, again, educated look at the quality of the land, how actively it's being farmed, and highest best use. I don't see that as purely a federal decision. That is, again, that collaboration with the municipalities. They're here on the ground hearing from people every day. They are ones who can make much better educated decisions, working directly with residents to choose land that is probably the best use for this kind of development, as opposed to, again, a hammered down approach of do what we want you to do.
Then there's always the issue that Mayor Foster and Clarington has raised that, permits are ready to go, but the builders aren't wanting to build. So, you know, who gets penalized for that, the builder or the municipality? So.
Right. And that's an ongoing issue, right? We've experienced that in Scugog as well. And I know Mayor Foster, I know him very well, and I know they've experienced similar things. In a rising interest rate environment, some developers have been hesitant, to start projects. Hopefully as the year goes on, current signals indicate that we may see interest rates starting to come down. So hopefully that will get developers interested in moving forward with some of their projects again, if they do see interest rates starting to come down. It's, as I said, with most things, it's always a complex issue that takes many people and many voices at a table. It's not a simple solution or a slogan. If it was that easy, it'd already be done.
And it would have been solved by the keyboard warriors on social media.
Of course, of course. I mean, so many good ideas come from that.
Several local officials and non-government people have shared on Exit 425 the increased concern for the poor and the homeless, with unhoused refugees complicating the situation even more. Are they connected, and how would you fix this?
I never say I'll fix anything, right? Because for me, again, I am a single voice. I am a person who needs to advocate for solutions by speaking with many levels of people affected, by those who are unhoused and homeless, understanding their voice and the people who advocate for them, understanding the feelings of municipalities, you know, even talking to provincial counterparts. How can we all work together to find solutions that work locally? Because each community is going to be slightly different and each community is going to have a nuanced need. We've seen that with some of the debate when it comes to a shelter in Whitby. Not everybody agrees. So getting consensus and working together is one of the most important skills I think that an MP can bring to the table. When it comes to that, you know, I do see them as relatively discrete issues. We do need to care for unhoused refugees as they come in and provide supports for them as they're here. And we go through the claim process to see if there are people who will stay or people who won't stay. So we do have to care for them in the interim time period that they're here as that is reviewed. When it comes to the poor and homeless of people who are already here, I know that the Liberal government has worked very hard over the last 8 years. And at this point, the Liberal team has reduced poverty by 50% since 2015, which is amazing. And a number of children have been, you know, raised out of, I believe it's 650,000 children have been raised out of poverty. A lot of hard work has been done. And that goes back to earlier, as I mentioned, with some of the affordability issues. To help raise people out of a sense of poverty and give them a better life. You know, the example I always use when it comes to affordability issues is when my kids were younger, I was spending more money in daycare for both my wife at the time to have jobs out of the home than we were paying in our mortgage. So it was essentially like us carrying two homes, to the point where the financial strain of that led my wife to quit her job and take a job working from home to be able to avoid paying for that, which was a much less paying job, but it also removed the onerous burden of paying such a large amount of money in daycare. So compromises were made. So I know with my kids and $10 a day daycare, they're never going to be put in that position to make a compromise in their life, which will affect their future career because of the presence of something like $10 daycare. Those are active things that are helping people get out of poverty because they're able to get out and get work, you know, be able to work in the workforce without having to worry about a vanishingly high cost of daycare to be able to go do that. So these issues, I think, have helped. When it comes to homelessness, again, these are complex issues. They're not easy issues. So it's working within communities to understand the need, understand what's happening, find appropriate solutions. And then once we have found those, where what level of government can provide funding to help, or hopefully multiple levels of government can provide funding to help fuel that local solution.
I'd just like to talk about perhaps the elephant in the room in a lot of situations here. Well into the term of Pierre Poilievre, you wanted to run as a Conservative candidate to replace Aaron O'Toole in Durham. Yep. How do you reconcile the sharp criticism you and your campaign have for that leader now?
Well, you know, to be clear, as a municipal councillor, I've met Aaron multiple times at municipal events and had a relationship with him through those types of things. You know, for me, as the leadership has solidified and he started forging a direction for his party, I think the progressively hard right turn that we've seen in that party became very distasteful for me. I was not a card-carrying Conservative member of the party, and you know, So it's not like I was a hardcore conservative and card-carrying member of the party. I've always been a centrist. I've supported, you know, multiple parties over the course of my life. And I think the average Canadian has supported multiple parties over the course of their life. You know, not many people pick a team at 18 and then ride it all the way through the rest of their life. They may be happening more and more now as party participation in politics becomes more of a sport instead of a intellectual exercise. But I just don't think that that's reality. So I think you need to make the best decisions possible. And I know for me, it was untenable reaching out, speaking to people who may be colleagues, reaching out to internally within the party to see who I would be doing business with. This was not something I was interested in being a part of, and then abandoned that approach. I mean, I was never a candidate for them. I never got to the level of candidate. For me, though, my core values, when I look at it, at who speaks to more of my core values, it is the Liberal team. So, you know, nothing reactionary on my point, from my perspective. I sat back for months and didn't approach anything. And, you know, as the year rolled on, you know, sort of 6-7 months later, there was an opportunity and some mutual interest to have a conversation, and it went from there. The interesting part is, I think that what I'm happy about the Liberal team is they were happy to listen. And they were happy to connect with a local leader. And it is a big tent where I see, especially the Conservative Party, narrowing on a single voice. The Liberal Party is looking for opening the tent and bringing different voices to the table. And that is, I think, abundantly clear when we see how both leaders present themselves.
As I pointed out in an earlier interview with another candidate, I wrote this question about a week before Mr. Trudeau shared his thoughts at your party's caucus meeting. Is it about representing the riding to the parliament, or is it about representing or selling the party to the riding?
It has to be the former, not the latter. Because if not, why are we doing what we're doing? That's why we're here. That's why we're in communities. And to be quite frank, that's why I think you need someone who is already serving this community and understands the needs of this community to be that voice and to be that champion for the issues that truly matter to this riding in Ottawa. You know, bringing or selling whatever platform is being devised in Ottawa into a riding doesn't serve the actual needs of the residents. You need to bring that voice there, and you need to advocate strongly in the background for issues that truly matter. Sometimes they'll be in perfect alignment. Sometimes they won't be, but it's having the strength of that voice to point out as negotiations are happening, you know, I don't know that this works for my riding, and this is why. And these are the examples I can use. Having that strength and having a team that's interested in listening to those voices and considering those voices, I think is extremely important. I don't really see that in other parties right now. I see it being a push out from Ottawa, not a pull in from a riding.
What can an MP or candidate do to demonstrate that they are in fact representing the riding to Parliament?
I think it's listening. I think it's what you are talking about. If I'm talking about an issue that has not much relevance to this party when I'm here in this riding, I'm probably doing my constituents a disservice, but focusing in on what the team is working on and providing updates, absolutely, so residents can understand what we're doing at a whole, but what I'm advocating on has to be organically issues that are coming up from here. And that's just hard work. That's talking to people, that's listening to people, and it's gathering that information to know what's really important here on the ground with everyone. I've always had an open door when I'm a municipal councillor, and I've advocated for issues that I very strongly believe in. And I've brought issues to the table that I don't necessarily agree with personally, because to me, it's not about me. It's about the people I represent, and making sure that they have an avenue to feel heard and to feel that they've had a chance to air their views, and have them, you know, have them listened to. So I feel very strongly about that. It's not just people who I think are going to vote for me that'll get my airtime. It'll be everyone. And even at the doors, when people are identify themselves as, you know, someone who will be voting for another party, I ask them if it's okay to chat a little bit with them. You know, if they're not interested, that's fine. But I really want to have that conversation. And I say to them, when I'm successful being elected as your MP, I need to know where everyone's at, not just the people who support me, because I'll still be your voice. And having that conversation has led to a lot of really productive conversations to really understand where people are. People who, you know, eventually through the course of the conversation begin to agree with me, and some of those people who still strongly disagree, but at least they know they've had somebody who genuinely was interested in hearing where they differ and how they got there. And I think that that's truly important, to be open to all voices, to be able to be the best advocate possible.
And establishing that trust on the part of an MP or a candidate is really important, because a lot of the work that you would do in Ottawa, advocating for the riding, isn't done in camera. It's done in camera. It's out of the view of a camera, you know, behind the green curtain, in caucus, in private offices, having discussions about things. So most Canadians really only see the, you know, the whipped votes and the party solidarity on things that they're like, what? Like, that's not how I'm thinking here. So, unfortunately, again, a lot of that's not seen. So establishing that trust with your constituents is really pretty, pretty critical.
So. Yeah, I agree. And as I said, that only comes about by being willing to have the conversations and listening. And again, that's something that I have always prided myself on, and willing to listen to people at where they are right now. I don't have to convince somebody, because I think it's always a low probability that you're ever going to change somebody's mind. But listening and having a respectful conversation with somebody that you disagree with is of primary importance to me, right? If it devolves into name calling and things like that, well, it's not productive anymore. But as long as you can say, you know, I understand that's where you are right now. Help me understand, how did you get there? What makes you feel that way about something? And just listening to how, understanding how that opinion was formed, and then providing some feedback on from your perspective on that, and hopefully it's received in just that way, that, you know, here's how I feel about this, or here's how I got to a different conclusion. To me, as I said, that's productive, because that builds that trust that you are truly interested and engaged with them, and also helps them, I hope, feel as though, you know, whether you're going to vote for me or against me, that when I am successful as being the MP, I'm still going to listen to you.
Any final thoughts?
Well, from my perspective, as I said right off the top, I think this community needs somebody already serving this community, a person with political experience, someone who deeply cares about the success of this community, and the residents here, someone who will be a strong voice, someone who will be a strong advocate, and somebody who will work tirelessly to make a difference in this community.
Robert, thank you for meeting me at Exit 425 today. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, they can reach out to the website to get information about the campaign. Easiest way to do that is rockdurham.ca. All of the information is on there, and be able to reach out. You can also send an email to the campaign. I'm just grabbing the phone number. It's robertrock@liberal.ca to get emails, or give the office a call at 905-434-3393. Again, we're always happy to listen and always happy to have a conversation.
Thank you once again, and thank you for listening or watching to this episode of Exit 425. Please like and subscribe on whatever platform you use. Our mission is to provide substantial information and education that goes where you want, because it's where we live. Exit 425 is a production of Studio 38 Audio, copyright 2024. My name is Steve Ray. If you have any questions or would like more information about Exit 425, join our Exit 425 Facebook group. Like the Facebook page, check out Instagram, Medium, X, and TikTok. Or email me at exit425401@gmail.com. Exit 425. It's where we live.